Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this morning and for our gathering together, knowing that we don't have much strength until we get out of here. But Father, we pray that you'd keep us till that time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to continue with the third pull and the squeeze, and we'll pick up where we left off last week. And remember, we're speaking about the third pull. So just keep that in mind. From Look Away to Jesus, he said, wait a minute, with the draw diagrams and all the pictures and everything else, he couldn't find one trace of it. He examined it over and over. He said, I might not be able to explain it, but Mrs. Branham, that tumor isn't there. And she's never had one symptom of it since. What was it? Notice, just exactly the way it said. Before the doctor's hand can touch it, one split second, remember he says a split second before the bombs hit this country too. So just remember that, because we already seen with this where his wife's tumor is gone, we're going to see the same thing, okay? Now he said, how perfect is the word of God. Now there's my wife and we're both before God. But before the doctor's hand could even touch her body, on the road coming to her like that, something happened. The tumor left, and they couldn't even, he said, I believe it wasn't it, sweetheart? I want to reassure you, Mrs. Branham. Is that right? The way he said it, that's right. That's the tumor isn't there. You don't have any tumor. What was it? Just exactly according to the word of the Lord that was spoken. Now remember, that thing was the size of a watermelon, so not watermelon, a grapefruit. And so, anyway, that's the fifth time. Now, we went over last week the different times, you know, the squirrels, Hattie Wright's children, the storm, etc. But, and we showed you how it's a restoration of life, and everything had to deal with life, creation of life, restoration of life, etc. And so this is, again, not a restoration of life, but a protection of that life, okay? So, amen, that's the fifth time. Five is a number of grace, number of faith, too. There's no more doubt in my mind. I know what the third pull is, and I know what it does. Now, be reverent and just be quiet. The hour will soon arrive when God is going to do something great for us. That's what I'm looking for. Now, remember, a lot of people think the third pull, we're going to speak the word. No, we're not going to do it. He's going to do it in the box, in the little room, in the closet. We showed you those quotes last week. And so we know that the prophet is his third pull. Jesus had one, Paul had one, Moses had one. They all had a third pull, okay? Now, from Look Away to Jesus, he says, now, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I have seen it upon other people, but when it comes to my own precious wife, it was in my home then. I looked at it with my own eyes, felt it with my own hands, and 16 years before that, it was also, Lord, known and revealed to you. When anything is spoken, it must be done. Now remember, Jesus had a pre-resurrection ministry. Then after his resurrection, he had a post-resurrection ministry. All right, are you listening up? Listen, if Moses had one, Paul had one, Jesus had one, Brother Branham's going to have a pre-resurrection ministry and a post-resurrection ministry. The two messengers, Elijah and Moses, are coming back. They're both having a post-resurrection ministry. You see, we have a post-resurrection ministry in the new millennium, or in the millennium and in the new earth, okay? We are going to be kings and priests, so we have a post-resurrection ministry. Everybody that's a child of God has a pre and a post-resurrection. The pre-resurrection ministry is to show whether you are his or not, and then the post-resurrection ministry, you already know who you are, so you're just going to fall into what you're supposed to do, okay? So that was the first pull. Now the third pull confirmed the first pull. We are thankful, Father. Forgive us of our shortcomings. We are a small people. We are uneducated, more or less, and illiterate people. But we are so thankful that we have a great omnipotent God who watches over us and cares for us. We don't know how to care for ourselves. We commit ourselves to you. Now that's a understated statement, okay? We don't know how to care for ourselves. If we did, I wouldn't have the affliction I have, okay? Many of you wouldn't have had the trials that you have because well, I'm great. I know how to do things for myself. I can prevent the stroke. No, you can't. God allows these things to bring your spirit in line with his spirit, okay? From look away to Jesus, he said, now, Father, I pray that you'll help me. And this third pole, may, O Lord, as you have been speaking for the last couple of years about it, showing it on marking on mountains and so forth and bringing it up. Now, I was watching to see what it was until it was completely confirmed. Now, I pray, Father, that you'll help me to be more reverent in this than it was before, and may you get the glory as right over this same pulpit. So, in other words, just because it's his third pole doesn't mean he's getting the glory. God still gets the glory. Remember, the angel of the Lord was up in the dimension. Brother Bram was up there, so he was not in our dimension, and he's looking down, and the angel said, I'll meet you in there. And so, the angel was first, and then Brother Branham came back. He followed in line where the angel was, okay? Then the people that were all healed and stuff didn't know how they walked into the room with one leg and they walked out with two and they were young again. They couldn't explain what happened, but it happened, okay? That's what's going to happen when we get our change, okay? So he says, and what you have said has come to pass exactly what you said. So we believe you, Lord. Help every one of us to throw away our disbelief and our superstitions that we might stand in the presence of the living God, knowing that the same God that took that tumor from my wife that is setting present now, verified by some of the highest medical science we got in the country, who examined it, then looked and pictured it, and now it's gone. All right? The squirrels weren't there. Now they were there. See, same thing. It's creation. All right? Now, the God who made the tumor is able to take the tumor, okay? The God who allowed you to go through aging process and getting old and decrepit and everything else, I'm speaking for myself, but I know Brother Steve's looking right at me too, so, we're getting old, right? We can't dunk the ball like we used to, right? All right, but he allowed that, and now he's going to take that and give us back our youth again, okay? From questions and answers. This is the third pole and is speaking the word. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word and one would completely and fully be restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection of the Son of Man. Is this so or is it not? Now think about the question because the question is answers and someone asks a question. Hey, if you've got this third pole and the speaking of the word, is it possible that God can use you to do this thing? You would do this if properly pressed upon. In other words, if the people rise up and say, Brother Bram, you got to do it. No, it's not the way it works, you see. Would you not escape all these things? It's got a ditto, though. Escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man? Now, my dear friend, see. Now, I think here that you got a good statement. In other words, it is possible. Yes, sir, yes, sir. Now, that would be so. You said, Brother Branham, in other words, here's what I can believe, not polishing up what you said, but I believe I can make it a little clearer to the people, see? You are believing because of the spoken words and things like that he said about. And all of you here is a witness of the squirrels and all these other things that's been done. But did you notice that was sovereignly given? I never asked him for that. Lord, let me do this, speak these things like that, do these things. I never asked him that. He, by his own divine will, came to me and said, you go do this. Notice, Moses never asked God to come down and deliver the people. God came to him and said, you go do this. All right? See, I wasn't asking one thing about it. See, Paul on his road to Damascus, God had to knock him off his high horse, blind him for a season, then give him sight again and say, now go to this. Okay, go do this. All right. I wasn't asking one thing about it. Moses never asked to go down in Egypt, but but was God that sent him down to Egypt. See how perfect this message is? So you see, it was not William Branham who descended with a shout. He was only a voice that God used. Then it must also be God in the voice, using the same voice to bring forth the resurrection. And then notice, the angel said about in the room, he said, I will meet you in there. So what we have been witness to, especially the last few weeks, is God's word spoken and it's coming to pass. Remember, the scripture teaches it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do. So if God's not working in you, I feel sorry for you. But if God is working in you and convicting you when you do wrong and all these things, then he's convicting you to get your will in line with his will so that you do, so what you do is in line with what he wants to be done. God said so, it must come to pass. So we see a picture here of President Trump being given some type of an accolade from the Arabs. And Brother Branham says, from God keeps his word, 1957. How many years ago was that? It's almost, it's 75 plus 50 is, it's 80 years. 80 years ago. Brother Branham said, you see it in the government affairs. They're trying to go right over and hook up with the Arabs. Now, what other presidency has done that? Come on, tell me. You know, Biden bombed the tar out of the people with drones and stuff like that. Biden did the same. He wouldn't even speak to the Arabs. But Mr. Trump is doing it. All right? Now, not to say he's a great guy for doing it, saying he's falling in line with God's spoken word. Okay? And don't you, not saying he's falling in line as if he's bright either. You know, like God, you know, God said Cyrus 150 years before Cyrus was born, he said, my servant Cyrus, okay? And Daniel showed that to Cyrus, and so Cyrus then said, okay, I guess I'm going to let the people go back and build the wall, this and that. See, and God said he was a servant. But he's a servant, listen, a servant is not a son. Okay, a servant is a person that's doing something for God because they're ordained to do something for God. So don't you know God's word said, ever who curses Israel will be cursed? Certainly. I stand with Israel, take our ground or take it. And certainly, Arabs went in the wrong thing. Sure they are. Brother, look at every nation that turned against a Jew, they sunk. Now, I'm not saying that even if a nation turned against what the Edomites that are running Israel are doing, okay? They're evil people just like we have here. I mean, look, a lot of the people, Paul said, not all Israel is Israel, right? Didn't he say that? And so you see all these people in, what's that big city, Tel Aviv. I mean, they believe in nudism and everything else, okay? They believe in homosexual and transvestite. That's not according to the scripture. Those people are not Israel. But the real Israel is over there. And so God is protecting them, just like he's protecting this nation, because you, his people, are here. And, of course, they're in other countries as well. So he said, look at every nation that turned against a Jew, they sunk. Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary... Okay, that was that picture, okay? Now, Vice President Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio sat before the Pope, both Catholic, looking like schoolboys at a headmaster's office. Now, that's not my words. That's what was from the article. All right? And look at the silly grin on their faces. All right? And President Trump said of this meeting, he said, the Vatican, as represented by the Pope, has stated that it would be very interested in hosting the negotiations between Russia and Ukraine. Now, remember, both Russia and Ukraine are Catholic countries, although Russia is a Eastern Orthodox Catholic, and Ukraine falls in line with the other. All right? But notice the Pope wants to get involved. Now, from the 70th week of Daniel, Brother Brown said, there is one man in the world, and thank you, Brother Peter, for sending this quote, there is one man in the world that can stop a war and begin a war without, by saying one word, that's the Pope. Trump tried to stop the war, and they laughed at him. And Zelensky acted like a 16-year-old boy, arrogant, and just... full of whatever, vinegar. in the presence of Trump. So they didn't really care, okay? They haven't done anything to stop the war. But Brother Branham said, one man can stop the war, and that's the Pope. What if he said, no Catholic take up an arm? That settles it, brother. Talk whatever you want to. Biggest part of the world of Christendom is Catholic. See, all right, let him say one word, and that's what it is. So yeah, he wants to get involved because he can do it. Trump couldn't do it. Now, if Trump tried to bring peace by himself, they have already ignored him. But you can't ignore the Pope in this Satan's Eden. He controls every country. From an exposition of the seven church ages, resume of the ages, Brother Branham said, but Rome is not going to do it alone. Her daughters are right with her, and she will take over absolute authority by the World Council of Churches. Now, before I say this, I just want to say, from Jezebel Religion, preached only a few miles over, Brother Branham told us that the Catholic Church, he said, she couldn't get it done through religion, so she will use politics, and through politics, she will get it done. So the Catholic Church knows that they can't do it alone, but if they can get the United States, the image of the beast, to come to marry together, now you've got the thing getting done, okay? From an exposition, okay, he said, but Rome is not going it alone. Her daughters are right with her, and she will take over absolute authority of the World Council. Now notice this picture here. The church cannot remain silent. The World Council of Churches condemned Israel's aggression in Gaza. That's the first time I've heard from the World Council of Churches in about 20-some years. They've been hidden, just like the Catholic Church, behind the scenes. But boy, they're working. This may seem far-fetched to some, but actually it is a very plain for all to see, because right now the churches, this is Brother Ram here, are controlling politics, and at the opportune time will manifest exactly how great is that control. This ecumenical move will end up with Rome at the head, even though the people did not envision it that way. Now remember, President Trump is the only president in my age, and I'm an old crony. An old curmudgeon, I guess you call it. I don't know what you call it. But anyway, I mean, I've had, let's see. Steve, how many presidents have we had?
How many presidents?
Yes, in our day. Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon.
Truman before Eisenhower.
Oh, you had Truman a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a few years older than I am. But all right. But anyway, there's been about, almost 10 of them, I think. And so, you know, none of them were interested. And now Trump, he has an actual department. It's called the Department of Faith, and it's run by Amy White. She's the head of it. She's a Pentecostal whore, basically, because she's had like four or five, I don't know how many husbands, but quite a few of them. And there's things in the papers about, you know, her philandering before that. So, and then you got all of the. I mean, I have not seen a president where you've got both the apostolic and the evangelicals and the fundamentalists all together in unison with this guy. He's got them all. And he's got an administration that 30-some percent, I think 37%, are Catholic. That's never happened before. In the early days, they said, hey, we can't allow Catholics to even vote, because if we do, they'll take over the country. So now they're doing just the opposite of what they stood for. You see, they're encouraging the Latino vote. What are Latinos? Mostly Catholic, okay? So they're encouraging the Catholics to rise up, okay? So anyway, Brother Rand goes on and says, now the church are controlling politics, and at the opportune time will manifest exactly how great is that control. This ecumenical move will end up with Rome at the head, even though the people did not envision it that way. We didn't see it coming, did we? Well, this group of people did, but the world didn't. All right. Now, from the first seal, Brother Branham said, now he is going to hold the money, and that's where I think it'll come in. Just a minute. When I say this, then I want to go back to it in a minute. So we have a picture here of Cardinal Parolin. He's the Secretary of State of the Vatican. It says the Cardinal Secretary of State was in Rio de Janeiro, November 18, 2024, around the time of the vote, okay, just a few weeks after, representing the Pope and the Holy See at the G20 summit. Now you say, well, isn't that kind of strange? No. I read a book called The Windswept House, written by Malachi Martin years ago, maybe 20 years ago, before they killed him, poisoned him to death. And he said that back when the G5 summit began, he said you had U.S., Canada, England, Germany, and Japan were the G5. But there were six signers on their summit. And the sixth signer was the Secretary of State of the Vatican. Isn't that strange? Well, it's not strange because he set the whole thing up. Nobody had any wisdom at all to try to do this, but the Catholic Church did, and so they set it up, okay? So they're still involved with the G20. Now that's grown to 20, okay? Now, Brother Ram said of the Pope, he said, he is called the Antichrist, and he will be called the Antichrist in the sight of God until the end time. Now, but then he'll be called something else. So when he gets the money all under control, remember, it's the dollar is basically losing everything, and it's the currency that holds the world together, and it's just going down. So somebody's got to stop it. Otherwise, 70% of the world that's tied to the dollar are going to crumble as well. And guess what? Those 70% are all Catholic nations. So he's got to do something with the money. He's got to. They've got to, all right? So when he gets the money all under control, now what year was this? It was, from the seal, so it was 63. Now when he gets the money all under control, then he'll break this covenant with the Jews, as Daniel here said that he would do it, in the midst of the last half of the 70th week. Now remember, the tribulation is 3.5 years after we're taken. Because God didn't allow the rain to fall until Noah was taken, right? And what was the other one? The other person that... Enoch, okay? Enoch was gone. But there was another one where God actually didn't allow this thing to happen until that person was gone, okay? Now, when he gets the money all under control, then he'll break this covenant with the Jews, as Daniel said here he would do, in the midst of the last half of the 70th week. So if there's 3.5 years of tribulation, and just to update everybody, there's 70 weeks attributed from the book of Daniel, 70 weeks given to the Jews, all right? The first half of the last week, and you could figure out, I think it's 460 years or something like that. Jesus Christ had his ministry. Now why, if he was born, why didn't he start his ministry at 20 or 21? I mean, I did at 21. Why didn't he do it at 20? Well, because it wasn't ordained for that. He was supposed to spend the 3.5 years. Brother Branham was 33 years, and Jesus lived 33 years. And so he spent, but the last 33.5 years was to the Jews. Then at Pentecost, it began to the Gentiles. You understand? Now, so out of 7 years that were left for the last week, 3.5 years were Jesus' ministry. That takes us then to when we are gone. The Gentiles are gone. God reverts back to the Jews. That's Revelation 10. Brother Brown said Revelation 10, he comes for the Jews. All right. But he also said it's a Gentile ministry, the seventh angel. So you scratch your head and say, oh, I don't understand. How can it be both? Because he has a post pre-resurrection ministry and a post. William Brown has a pre-resurrection ministry and a post after his resurrection. All right. Well, people say, I don't believe he's coming back in the resurrection. Well, then you're not coming back either. Who do you think you are if William Branham isn't coming back and you think you're going to come back? Then we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. That's what the scripture says. But it's not true. God, all of God's children he saw before the foundation of the world are going to be there. And that includes all of you. So just believe for yourself, believe for your household, and God will do it. Okay, now, you think God's going to leave your little children behind? I've got quotes where Brother Branham says he's not going to do it. He said, but take the same faith you have for yourself and apply it to them. You see? So, all right. So he says, and then, brother, what will he do? We have all the world trade and the commerce, a pact with the world, because he'll hold the wealth of the world completely. Now, remember, he says, then he'll break this covenant with the Jews in the midst of the last half of the 70 weeks of Daniel. So we will be in glory for about 2 years before this happens, because that's about halfway through, okay? Somewhere between 18 months and 24 months, okay? We're going to be gone. Then, see, the world will know nothing about it. I mean, I believe, as Trump says, we're going to have a golden age. You see, the Bible says that he comes as a thief in the night. He doesn't come when we're all hoping to get out of COVID, when we're all hoping to get out of the grips of the government. He's coming as a thief in the night. When you least expect it, he'll come. So you better shape up your lives right now, is all I'm saying, okay? And then, Brother Branham, what will we do? He'll have all the world trade and the commerce and a pact with the world, because he'll hold the wealth of the world completely. So you don't understand that Trump is a gold man. Now, Trump doesn't take cash when APMEX is renting his big building it's the largest gold and silver dealer, okay? And they happen to be in Manhattan, and Trump happens to own the building. And for years now, he takes payment in gold bullion, all right? So he's been saving up gold himself, and he knows if they change the gold from 3,000 an ounce to 30,000 or 50,000 or whatever it takes to pay off the debt, he's going to look like a hero. He's been planning it a long time. He's watched every Democrat make promises, and he says, you know, every one of them lied to the people. I'm going to make promises, and I'm going to keep promises. Have you ever heard a president say promises kept? Promises made, promises kept? Well, he's doing it. Why? Because he knows it failed for all the others. So why do you think he's such a great politician? He studied. He's a smart man. He's got 168 IQ. He studied all these years, and he's seen what failed. Just like when he started out in business and he failed, he studied why he failed, and he made corrections. William, you have a business. How many times have you failed? How many times have you corrected the failure? Well, but you can look at your business now, and you can look at your business back then. You can say, hey, I made corrections, and I'm doing well now because I made those corrections. That's the same that Trump has done. So don't think, well, he's such a great man. Just think he's a pretty shrewd businessman, okay? Now, when he gets the money all under control, who's he? The Pope. Then he'll break this covenant with the Jews, as Daniel said here that he would do in the midst of the last half of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And then, brother, what will he do? We have all the world trade and commerce and pact with the world, because he'll hold the wealth of the world completely. Why? Because he backs up all the Jews on Wall Street, all their quadrillions of debentures, whatever they call it. He's got the money to do it. You say, well, no, they're so poor, they can't even pay when, you know, they have all these child molestation cases. No, they just ship them off to somebody else so they don't have to pay. They ship them from, like, the guy that was the best friend of this Pope, and he was in Wisconsin and or Michigan, and he got scared. So he went down to, Peru. And then, of course, this Pope went and followed him there. So they don't care about the poor. They act like they do because it's, hey, great press. You think Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton actually care about the poor when they've gotten a couple billion dollars to their thing, but you know what? None of it went to Haiti. I mean, the government sent all kinds of foodstuffs and everything else to Haiti, and guess what? It sat in a warehouse and rotted. You think those people really care? You think they care that global warming is going to happen when, you know, Bill Gates and Obama and all these people, they have ocean view apartments or complexes that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars? You really think they care about global warming? It's a big ruse, okay? It's people are stupid. They're sheep, okay? They don't understand what's going on. All they got to do is open their eyes, and they would know. And then they say, "Well, you know, we didn't know that Obama was that he had cancer." And yet all of us people said for years that the guy's had dementia. Even his own family said he had dementia in 2019 before the election. But that didn't make the news, did it? And they said, oh, it's just a conspiracy theories of the conservatives. And now they say, well, maybe they were right. Maybe they were right. After the fact, they put out their book so they can collect another $1 million off the affair. Maybe they were right. Oh, boy, I tell you, these people are going to burn in hell, every one of them, all right? And then Brother Branham said, what will they do? He'll own the trade of the world because he's backing their paper with gold, and then he calls it and says, I'm calling the note. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had a note from a bank called on you, but then if you don't pay it, it goes to foreclosure. Now, I know some of you have taken advantage of that and bought land. Bought houses on foreclosed ones. But the thing of it is, a bank can do that any time, and you're stuck, all right? What's the Catholic Church going to do? Hey, we're sitting on this quadrillions of money around the world, and now we're going to either call it, we will call it, but we're going to give you this option. We're going to tell you what to do, and you do it, then you're fine. That's exactly what he's saying here. And the Catholic Church will do it, all right? And during that time, when the banknotes are called, when the Depression hits hard, every nation, it hits the Jews because that's when the Jews' depression, that's when the Jews' tribulation begins, okay? And during that time, them two prophets will rise on the scene and call that 144,000. Then what'll take place? Then the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, will set in, because he holds all the commerce, trade, and everything of the world. And remember, Revelation 13 has to do with the United States. And what will take, and it also has to do with the boycott, you know, which is cancel culture, which is a boycott. We've already seen a trailer. You know, they already proved it by you couldn't get on a bus, a plane, a train, or any commercial. You couldn't have church services. You couldn't go to a ball game. You couldn't do anything that was right during COVID. But you could protest in the streets and burn down the cities and everything else. That was okay. That's what it's going to be like. Listen, when God's Holy Spirit leaves the earth, he takes us with him. And then, Brother Branham says, chaos opens up. Chaos. There's nothing left but chaos. When divine mercy is spurned, then there's nothing left but judgment, okay? Meanwhile, we've been judging ourselves by the word, this word, all right? And what will take place then? The mark of the beast will come to that. No man can buy or sell except him that has the mark of the beast. No man. So those that try to buy and sell, those that don't want to enter the beast system, guess what happens to them? Like what happens in South Africa if you're a white boer. All right? Kill the boer. Kill the farmer. All right? Oh, we're not doing that. You're a liar because it's on video all over the place. Same thing going to happen. All right? And thank God the church will be enjoying a great 3.5 years in glory. Won't have to go through that. Can we all say amen? I'm so looking forward to that time. Now, from the sign of the time, the Bible teaches that the church will be raptured before the tribulation. You know that. Everybody knows that. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, not one drop of rain fell from heaven till Noah went into the ark. Wow, isn't that wonderful? In the days of Lot, not one bit of fire fell from heaven till Lot got out of Sodom. Isn't that wonderful? And not one bomb can drop until his blessed church be resurrected and taken in the rapture to see her Lord. And if destruction is this close, how close is the coming of the Lord? It has to happen before the destruction and annihilation. It has to happen. Now, I don't know how aware you are, because most people don't watch the news, and the news don't tell you anyway. And a lot of people don't even watch podcasts, because that's about the only place where you get maybe 80% of the truth. Not all, because they lie too. But you've got the Holy Ghost. So your eyes are open to what is happening in the world. And the world is going, they're having a great difficulty with the money system. It's all going to collapse. It's going to collapse. All right? Now, from thy house, he said, so then in that, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if your children isn't saved until they get saved. And Jesus said, now, remember St. John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come to the judgment. Did you hear what I said? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, that means his word, because God is his word. Then if you don't come to judgment, then where does he go? Excuse me. If you're not coming to judgment, and the judgment's coming to this world, then where are you going to go in the rapture? See, because that's the judgment after the rapture. Okay. See, shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life, because he's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? So your children will be there with you. Did you hear what I just said? Your children will be there with you. Listen, Job's children were living on their own. They were living, partying, having a party every night, probably getting drunk, doing all kinds of things, and they died. And you know what Brother Branham said? He said, why did he have, after all of his trials, he had double of everything in his life, except for his children, he got the same seven children back. When was that? He said, God kept them in heaven for him. So don't look at your child. If he's a little stinker, he's under the token. You were a stinker one day yourself. So don't look at your children who don't have the all the values of God yet. But they do have some, and they quote some. And they believe the word some, but they don't have it all yet. Neither do you, but you will. And so now is a time of salvation, okay? Now is a time to start applying that token, all right? So he says, your loved ones will be there with you, and I hope I'm there with you. Amen. All right. Now, from Shalom, he said, then one time he said about the third pole, how it would come by this one way, then by knowing the heart, and then the spoken word. Okay, so we show that Moses had a third pole. He had a spoken word. All right. God said, speak to the rock. What did he do? He spoke to the rock. When he doubted his own revelation of what God told him to do and struck the rock, nothing happened. He struck it twice in anger, and God kept him from going into the promised land because of that. All right? So the spoken word has to do with the third pole. Then Monday I'm going with a little short meeting and so forth. Okay? It says I'm going to Phoenix, etc. I purpose in my heart this year, if the Lord willing, I just cut the and tore it from side to side, and we all know that the identification, we know what the third pole is. We all understand that. Like I said, what was Hattie Wright's sons? It was life imparted. What was on the upper room? It was life imparted. Okay, same thing. Jesus' third pole during the speaking the word. What did he do? He spoke fishes upon the water. What did William Branham do? He spoke squirrels. What was both of them associated with? Eating, health, eating, okay? In other words, a sustaining life. What did his third pole happen to do with the storm? It was a preservation. What about Mita? It was a keeping of her life. You see, it all has to do with life, okay? Every one of them, all right? There's five times, all right? Just like the five straight signs without failure perfectly, and now I think, just wait, see what was done. Now, I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going the same again through and through, and to find out short meetings, and we'll try to get out every night early. Have just about 30 minutes talking something about divine healing or something like that. And whenever I get ready to make a tape again, I'll either run down here to the backside of the desert or else the tabernacle or somewhere where they can make a tape where we'll be amongst ourselves and I can say what I wish to say like that. Okay, now from question and answer. This is the third pole and is speaking the word. What's the third pole? It's speaking the word. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word and one would be completely restored. Okay, I've already read that one, so I'm going to skip on. But remember, he just said, my dear, he said, that's a good statement, but he said, those things were sovereignly given, okay? Now, from anointed ones, at the end time, notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on the, but when he begins his message, see, the first pole, healing. Second pole, prophesying. Third pole, the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. You see, Moses had the stick in his hand, first pole, all right? He had then the judgments of plagues and stuff, the second pole, all right? But then he had the third pole, the manna from heaven came. Now, manna is the food. Brother Bram had squirrels. Jesus had fishes. People in the wilderness had quails, and they had the manna. See, so it's the same thing. Now, there's no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pole was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truths that's been sealed in the word. Do you see it? It is then, in that day, when this thing is taking place, that Jannes and Jambres, the impersonators, will appear then, just like they did when Moses appeared with the original word to say it. They appeared to impersonate it. Just exactly right. Now you see what Matthew 24:24 is? See, the anointed. And what is the attraction on the mountain? So I've got my mind set on this tape. That's that third pole, and it's the one I must be loyal to. From what is the attraction on the mountain? I went up in the canyon, climbed the plum up where the eagles was flying around. I was watching some deer standing there. I knelt down to pray and raised my hands, and a sword struck my hands. Now, I have a duplicate of that sword that was given to, and Brother Vail had bought it in my study, if you want to see it. I looked around, and I thought, what's that? I'm not beside myself. Here's a sword in my hand, bright, shiny, glistening in the sun. I said, now there's not people in miles of me way up here in the canyon. Where would that come from? I heard a voice said, that's the king's sword. And I said, a king knight's a man with a sword. And he, the voice came back and said, not a king's sword, but the king's sword. The word of the Lord said, fear not, it's only the third pole. It's the vindication of your ministry. Then man that can turn on the light and watch as it went forward, it grew stronger and stronger, and so has the real little minority of the church grown from justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost, and now to the coming capstone shaping itself up. No more organization after this. There won't be no more. We're on the West just to show you through all the types and everything else and look at those three jumps, three poles. And we'll get into this tonight, how we're at the end time. The sun has traveled like S-O-N, S-O-N like S-U-N. The church has come, the same thing from the seven church ages and so forth. And civilization moved right on to the West and the church has moved right on to the West. And now if we go any further than what we are now, we come back east again. You leave the West Coast, you go right back to China, Japan, right back to it again. 7,000 miles across, and you go right back to the East again. So East and West has met. That's all of it. We're at the end time. There's nothing left. So if you're hesitating, if you are not living according to the Word, you're not ready. You're going to be left behind. If you're echoing, then what? He says, he that hath the Son. That word, Greek word is echo. 1 John 5:10-12. He that hath the Son. He that echoes the Son. Echoes life. Echoes the life of the Son. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. If Christ isn't living in you, then you are dead. You might think, well, I don't need to hear that. I'm fine. Go ahead. Just go ahead. You'll be here. You won't make it. You won't make it. For man that can turn on the light. Look, the early church started in the east. Okay, jumped across sea over into Germany, and it's made three poles. Look, from Asia down to Palestine, it jumped across the ocean to Germany. Why do you think that Gaza is such an important thing today? Because it was important back then. It started there, it's ending there. Isn't that wonderful? God in simplicity, Alpha and Omega, always the same. And from Wesley, she jumped to the west coast of the United States. And this, if you go any further, it's coming back east again. This is the evening time. And the mark of the beast been here all along. Either the seal of God or the mark of the beast, but there comes a time when it will be activated. Notice, when it becomes activated. There's already people that have the mark of the beast. It's in their forehead, it's in their actions. So if your actions are not according to the word, you've got the mark of the beast. That's all I can say. All right? He speaks of economic troubles, disaster, and one other thing. Mark of the beast. You Pentecostals can't fellowship. The government is moving you. In other words, like I said, during the time of COVID, we had a preview of what's to come. And that preview showed lockdowns everywhere. A canceled culture, which is nothing but a boycott. And that's exactly the Bible says. Look it up. Revelation 13. What was the attributes and characteristics of the mark of the beast? It was a cancel culture, a boycott. We've already seen it. 70% of the world got themselves jabbed. 70% of the world got their DNA changed to beast. You know that they're a beast now? It's too bad. They say, well, I got the shot. I'm going to be fine. No, you're not. You're going to die. A miserable death. Many have already died of myocarditis and pericarditis and all kinds of things. Well, we can't blame that on the vaccine. Why can't you? It's not even a vaccine. It's an mRNA. It's a scientific thing that they did to change your DNA. I've got proof of it. I've got Bill Gates talking to a DARPA. And where does all the evil come out of America? Where are the so-called vaccine, mRNA vaccines developed by DARPA? Then send over to China to kind of instill it and get it ready. You don't realize Bill Gates in 2004 said we have a vax. It's called the fun vax, not fun like it's going to be fun, but fun as in fundamental. And he says it changes the M2 in your brain so that God cannot communicate with you anymore. You're basically a beast. That's what's happened. Oh, you say the Pentecostals will never receive it? They won't? What did they do the other day in Missouri? You read your paper, surely. See, you won't. not you Pentecostals, you people, but it's you. It's not you. It's the government up there that's moving you, that the heads that's turning you. That's right. Don't go with it. You stay away from that thing. That's the mark of the beast. But you know what? 90% at least, and I'm being gracious because that means 25,000 people who claim to follow the message have all kinds of doctrines and everything else but what the prophet said. But they think that the message is an extension of Pentecost. Brother Branham said it's a million miles beyond Pentecost. And a couple weeks ago, I asked Grok. It's a computer, a supercomputer. And I said, who would you say in the 50s and 60s was the prophet of the hour? And it said, well, it's got to be William Branham. So if and he says, but he didn't have the people that Oral Roberts had or Amy Semple McPherson had, but he had the most miracles and stuff like that. So if a computer, which is based on logic in, logic out, all right, input in, input out. It can't create its own logic. It takes what somebody else has implied. It's taking all the things said on the internet about William Branham and says, yeah, I come to the conclusion he must be the prophet of the hour. You know what? There's 2.5 million people in this message that believe God sent a prophet. They don't have revelation, brother, sister. They have logic. Logic. Only the bride has revelation. And Brother Branham said it might only be 500 people. And that is 0.0003 zeros of the 2.5 million people. That means it's 0.01% if it's 500 people. Now, we can pray that be a few more than that, because Brother Branham did say there's two schools of thought, 500 and 5,000. He said, but I believe it'll be closer to 500. There was only 8 in the days of Noah. As Brother Vail told us, there were 6 billion people on earth at that time, and only 8 were saved. It's not going to be a whole lot of people. You don't have room to be playing games. All right? So what are we going to do? If I say 1%, and you say, well, that's not very nice of you, because 1% is 250 or 25,000 people. You think it's going to be 25,000 people around the world? When I can show you, I've been to 59 countries. I can tell you that there's churches over in Africa that they all leave their shoes outside and walk into the church because it's holy ground, and somebody steals all their shoes and starts a shoe company. Yeah. You know, I've seen tremendous amount, you know, like in Congo, North Congo, the brothers asked me the question, well, now that we've got the doctrine, can we still eat snake? And I just burst out laughing, because back home, there was people that wouldn't eat meat because of the doctrine. They, well, we got the doctrine, and so we can't eat meat. And Paul says, you're pretty simple if you do that. He says, you're pretty not. He said, there's some that don't eat meat, some eat meat. He said, just bear with those ones that don't, because, you know, what can you do? They are who they are, okay? Brother Branham, people are going to do what they're going to do. And yet, we don't go through all the quotes where Brother Branham says that cult eating, like not eating meat. So, you know, pick and choose what part of the message you want, and then you're going to be fine, right? No, you're not going to be fine. You're going to be left behind, all right? So, from this God of this evil, and I'm sorry, but, well, we got a few minutes. Okay. Oh, wait a minute, it's 12:02. Can I have someone go over to the place we're all going to eat and just make sure that we get our table? Because I told them 12:30, it's 2 after. So, and I've got too many pages left. I think what we'll do is we'll close it here. And so we can all get out, and then Justin, you'll pick up this afternoon, and then I'll just save this for next week. I thought we were just going to have 2, but actually we've got 3 so far, and maybe it's going to be 4. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we're looking at this third pole. We're looking at the evils that are happening in this world. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would be with us and help us, Lord, through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. And help us, Lord, to just enjoy the day and the sermon to come this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.